Chapter 22. There was no way for Voss to reckon the passage of time in the cell. It could have been a few days or a month. The lights were always on. Meals, when they came, were at irregular intervals. Droids monitored his sleep patterns to ensure that he was jolted awake in agony during the REM stage. Voss was no stranger to torture. In the past, his mastery of the Force had enabled him to focus his mind and distract himself from the pain. Hitherto, however, those who would see him suffer were strangers to the Force and had been after specific information. Neither was the case with Dooku. The Count came when he pleased, in silence, sometimes to observe Voss simply hanging, suspended, while a torture droid went about its programming. Other times, Dooku entered the cell, casually blasting Voss with Force lightning so that the former Jedi Master was reduced to screaming and writhing helplessly. Each time, Voss tried to get him to talk, to find out what Dooku wanted. The Count liked to gloat, and it was possible that he might let something slip that might be of help. Some reference to the layout of this place, perhaps, or an unguarded comment on troop movements. It was a futile effort. Voss was nothing more than an animal tormented for no apparent reason, save for Dooku's whim. And Voss knew, despite his training, both in the light and now the dark side of the Force, if that went on long enough, that was what he would eventually become. So when Voss heard Dooku's footfalls over the hum of the torture device that bathed him in erratic pulses of energy designed to target nerve endings, he was not hopeful. But he refused to give up. For the 10th, or perhaps the 1,000th time, Voss lifted his head. He twitched as another agonizing pulse seared him, but bit back a cry. Dooku, as always, was smiling, as if he were a kindly grandparent watching a child at play. For the 1,000th, or perhaps 10th time, Voss asked in a voice raw from screaming,
"Why not just kill me and be done with it?"
"Tell me," Dooku said, "what did you hope to gain by teaming up with Asajj Ventress?"
All this time of silence, and he asked this? Voss was so surprised that the pain receded for a moment. The droid monitoring his reactions gave a passable impression of a frown and upped the level. Voss couldn't entirely smother a hiss of agony.
"I think that's obvious enough," he said through the pain. "I was sent to eliminate you."
Dooku stroked his beard thoughtfully.
"It seems a desperate strike by the Jedi Council, not to rely solely on their vaunted Jedi Knights for such a task. Has the Order become so weak in my absence?"
Voss rallied as best he could, looking Dooku square in the eye. He managed to chuckle.
"Look around, Dooku. On every front, the Republic is winning the war."
"I'm so glad you think so. But you are changing the subject."
He shook a chiding finger at Voss.
"I was not asking you about the war. I was speaking of Ventress."
Instantly, Voss was on alert. He had been in so much pain when he had been captured, he wasn't sure what exactly had happened. Had Ventress abandoned him by choice? Or had they forced her off? His memories of that night were so fuzzy.
"Ventress has no sense of charity," Dooku went on. "She would not help you unless she had something to gain."
"She sure hates you,"
Voss offered.
"Of course she does. But she never works with anyone she can't control."
A sick jolt went through Voss. He thought about the previous attempts Ventress had made on Dooku's life. Then she was in the company of her sisters, or else had, quite literally, created and shaped what she had thought would be the perfect co-assassin. Had she been creating and shaping him as well? "Have caution, Quinlan," Kenobi had warned him. Ventress is nothing if not manipulative. She won't hesitate to use your trust against you the instant it serves her own selfish purposes.
Well,
Voss said, forcing his voice to be confident.
Maybe you don't know her like I do.
Dooku arched an eyebrow, suddenly keenly attentive.
No,
the Count mused.
Perhaps I do not. But I see you do know her. Quite intimately, in fact.
Voss didn't reply. Dooku stepped closer.
I sense much fear in you, Voss.
Voss seized the chance. He would control the fear, turn it to anger. Anger turns to hate, and hate made him strong. You're wrong, he scoffed. I'm not afraid of you.
No, I don't believe you are,
Dooku agreed.
But you are afraid.
Voss tried to redirect his thoughts, to focus on the loathing he felt for the man standing so smugly, so certain of his power before him. But he was so weary and weak, and the pain kept directing his thoughts from strength to fear.
Your thoughts betray you,
Dooku said, and despairing, Voss knew it was true.
Ventress was teaching you. Well, well, this explains much.
You're wrong. There's nothing she could teach me.
Dooku shook his head and sighed.
You do yourself no favors by lying to me. You yourself said that you had a good teacher. Don't you remember?
Voss struggled to keep his face from revealing the stab of anguish as he realized that, indeed, he had forgotten. What else was he not remembering?
I left the Jedi because I had grown beyond them. But I see now that you and I, Voss, have much in common.
Voss rallied at the abhorrent words.
You and I are nothing alike. You're a traitor.
And what are you?
Dooku's normally modulated voice cracked like a whip.
You were raised in the Jedi Temple, but now you reek of the dark side. Soon enough, you will stop denying the truth of so very many things. And you will understand that I am not a traitor, but a visionary. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hatred leads to suffering.
The Count nodded to the torture droid. This time, Voss convulsed in the grip of the blue crackle of electricity.
But what the Jedi failed to teach you, what I have learned, is how to persevere, to pass through the suffering, and achieve ultimate power.
Dooku nodded again. The pain stopped. Sweat ran down Voss's face. His heart was racing, his body quivering in remembered agony.
Do not worry, my apprentice. The lessons that Ventress began, I shall now complete.
He waved a dismissive hand to the droid, and Voss tensed in anticipation of the next wave of electricity that would jolt through his body. Dooku turned. Voss's screams followed him down the hall. Akar Deshu fell into step with Obi-Wan Kenobi as the Jedi Master strode toward the Council Chamber. He said nothing, merely kept pace with the human. And Kenobi sighed.
Desh, he said quietly. You know I cannot say anything about Master Voss or his assignment. I know, Master Kenobi,
Desh said quietly.
You do not need to speak for me to know that something's gone wrong.
Kenobi gave the smaller Jedi an irritated glance. There are times when I wish that certain Jedi were not quite as Force-sensitive as they are. And yes, I know precisely how that sounds.
I said it last time, and I will say it every time. If there is anything I can do to help...
You are rather too attached to Voss, Desh.
So are you, Master. Admit it. Voss does have a way of getting under one's skin.
So does a tick or a splinter.
Kenobi muttered. Nonetheless, he put a hand on the Moran's shoulder and gave him a troubled smile as he entered the council chamber. Yoda, Windu, Ki-Adi Mundi, Sacy Tin, and Plo Koon were present. All eyes turned to Kenobi as he entered and bowed to Master Yoda. Yoda's expression was hopeful, but almost immediately he looked down and his ears drooped.
No word have you had from Master Vos?
He said heavily. None, Kenobi said.
No word from and no word of. It's as if he's completely vanished. As we discussed, I've continued to show up at our prearranged meeting place and time.
Perhaps Ventress discovered his identity,
Plo Koon said.
And killed him for deceiving her.
I think not, Kenobi said. If such had been the case, Ventress would have made sure that word of her displeasure with the Council reached us.
He did not elaborate on the various grisly ways she might have done so.
Asajj Ventress is a known Sith,
Ki-Adi Mundi said.
Former Sith,
Kenobi corrected, marveling not for the first time that he was now in the curious position of defending Ventress's honor.
Is anyone even capable of being a former Sith? Windu demanded. It's possible he's tricked Master Vos into going down a dark path with her. And now we have a rogue Jedi on our hands.
Possible, Kenobi agreed. Provided any of you really think that Quinlan Vos is so weak-willed that he'd forsake everything he's known his entire life. The man was raised in the temple.
A powerful allure is that which is forbidden,
Yoda said. Until we know something, anything for certain, it's unwise to speculate, Kenobi said.
We don't even know if he's still alive.
Mace's eyes were dark.
This could be part of the plan.
It could be, Mace said. Or he could be dead. The point is we don't know. And we should, Master Kenobi. We should.
Ventress stood for a moment in the doorway of Chalmun's cantina, letting her eyes adjust to the darkness from the blazing sun's light of Tatooine. This was not the path she would have preferred to tread, but she could think of no other option. It felt like eons ago when she had entered it for the first time. Then, too, she had been reeling with a devastating sense of loss after Grievous had slain her entire clan. But then, she had been stumbling, directionless. Now, Asajj Ventress had but one laser-keen sense of purpose. She scanned the crowd, and her gaze fell upon a familiar green reptilian face above a bright yellow flight suit. Familiar, too, was the perky young woman with bright orange pigtails and lavender skin. And, yes, he was there, too. Ventress steeled herself and headed for them. Bossk spotted her, and his face grew even sourer with a grimace. Ventress hadn't realized such a thing was possible. He leaned into a booth to talk to an unseen occupant. A moment later, two attractive Twi'lek girls slipped out of the booth, throwing Ventress wary glances.
Hey!
Called a voice Ventress remembered, boyish and intense.
I'm not paying for all of you.
Bossk folded his arms and glared at her as she approached. In no mood for banter, Ventress stared him down. After a second or two, he threw up his hands in a, hey, all right, I'm backing off gesture, stepped back, and she slid into the booth across from Boba Fett. His eyes widened in shock. Then he scowled.
No name, he said. You've got a lot of guts coming here.
Ventress ignored the comment. She leaned in and said quietly and with sincerity,
I need your help.
Boba Fett's double take was priceless. Then he cupped a hand exaggeratedly to his ear.
I'm sorry?
Ventress choked down the urge to strike him.
You heard me.
He smirked.
No, I don't think I did. Say it again.
For some reason, the irritation bled out of her. All she felt was exhaustion and a hopelessness that needed to be shut down right now, lest it run over her completely. She repeated in the same calm voice, "I need your help." He scoffed, shaking his head in disbelief. "After what you did to me on Quarzite?" As she had suspected, Fett indeed had not gotten over being insulted, force-choked, bound, gagged, and tossed into a trunk, even if Ventress had left everyone their fair share of payment. He got up to leave, disgusted. Ventress shot her hand across the table, shoving him back into his seat.
"Sit,"
she snapped, stabbing a finger at him.
"Why should I?" "Because I need your help."
Lotsrotsi and Bosk, hovering just outside the booth, exchanged glances. Lot shook her head in disbelief.
"And?"
Ventress said, including the two of them in the conversation.
"I'm willing to pay. I want to hire you and your syndicate."
That got everyone's attention, even Boba's. He looked unconvinced as he replied,
"That's going to be expensive. If I even decide to bother with you, I have the money."
His brows drew together.
"Credits won't square you and me."
He took a swig of his drink and drew his sleeve across his mouth.
"Not even 100,000 credits?"
Ventress asked. Lot's eyes grew large as saucers, and Bosk's jaw closed in astonishment. Boba looked at Ventress evenly.
"No, not even 200,000 credits."
Ventress had underestimated how badly she had wounded the boy's pride. It was proving to be an expensive mistake.
250.
That got him. Boba's mouth hung open for 3 full seconds before he closed it. Lots and Bosk glanced at each other, and then, in perfect step, they moved forward.
"We'll take the job,"
Bosk said.
"Absolutely,"
Lots agreed immediately. Boba stared at them.
"But you don't even know what it is."
Lots shrugged.
"For 250,000 credits, I don't care."
Boba looked at Ventress, then at his bounty hunters. He threw up his hands in surrender.
"Fine,"
he sank back sullenly.
"But the syndicate gets its cut. You guys have fun."
Fett took another long pull at his drink. He looked profoundly irritated with all of them.
"No deal,"
Ventress said bluntly.
"I want the whole team."
She counted them out on her fingers.
"Bosk, Lots, Heisinger, Embo, and Boba Fett."
Boba narrowed his eyes. He looked at her in silence for a long moment. Then he leaned back and asked,
"What's the job?"
Ventress had planned out exactly what she was going to say.
"A rescue mission. One man on Sereno. We get in, we get out, you get paid."
Boba considered.
"You know the layout of where we're going? The defenses? The weak points?" "As if I lived there,"
she replied smoothly. Boba suddenly slammed down his drink and leaned into her.
"It can't be that easy. There's more to this than you're saying. I know it."
Ventress knew something, too. How to play Fett.
"There are always variables. Any experienced hunter knows that."
She put exactly the right amount of inflection into the word. And sure enough, Boba fairly bristled at the implied slight. He grabbed his helmet, having obviously had enough of the conversation.
"We get paid up front or no deal. Transfer the credits today."
Ventress inclined her head. She'd been expecting this demand, just as she'd expected to have to up her initial offer. The sum represented almost everything she had saved up during her time as a bounty hunter. But if they could do it, if they could get Voss out of that hellhole where Dooku was doubtless torturing him, Ventress wouldn't care if she earned another credit as long as she lived. Lots and Bosk looked like children who'd just been given presents.
"Yes!"
hissed Bosk gleefully. Lots, grinning from ear to ear, playfully punched his breastplate in a show of solidarity. Boba still looked as if he had taken a bite of something particularly nasty.
Go get Heisinger and Embo ready. We'll run through the basic layout of the mission in 1 hour.
They nodded and practically skipped off. He watched them go, then turned back to Ventress.
For the record.
Ventress looked up to find his blaster 3 centimeters from her face. This she hadn't expected.
I know you're going to betray us at some point. They might not see it, but I do.
She gazed at him evenly, hiding her surprise.
And also, just for the record,
he continued pleasantly,
I'm not the kid you left behind on Quarzite. You double-cross me again. You'll pay for it.
He twirled the blaster around his finger before holstering it, then shoved his helm on his head and followed Bosk and Lots.